cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Mel Weber on the board. S&P futures, whack, whack, whack this morning. And, they're down 23 points. Dow futures down 207. Pretty much what we were up yesterday. NASDAQ futures down 74 is, we appear to, hey Lou, how are you?
Good morning. I would suggest your numbers are reflecting at least in part, the new figures from China on the coronavirus.
They just found a different way to look at it, Lou.
Yeah, but, They had put out it. You know, when you're a dictatorship, at some point you kind of look around and go, God, could we have done this any worse? You know, the word was just getting out that it looked like the disease was peaking, and then they said, you know what, we're gonna give you an actual look at what we're seeing instead of the sort of jury rigged number we were giving you, and now all of a sudden it looks substantially worse. So I think everybody's kind of. I think everybody's kind of stepped back and said, you know what, we're dealing with a dictatorship here. We can't rely on these numbers. And, you know, I think your investment future looks cloudy, accordingly.
What would you say, Lou, right now, from what the information you're getting? And are you in Europe or are you here?
No, I'm in the U.S.
Okay. I was going to say, what is the, I can't figure out. I ask everybody who comes on, hoping maybe somebody knows more than me on this issue, but it seems like it's not much on there. What do we think the difference is between this thing and just a real bad strain of the regular flu? Is it because it's liable to mutate again? Is it because it's affecting something different, more pneumonia-like? I mean, what is the fear here? Because it doesn't appear that in Western nations that people would have it are dying or anything. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but what there seems like the fear is greater than and we've seen flus come through Chicago where 100,000 people got it in 4 days and everybody's miserable for a week. I mean, and a lot of people who were already, in trouble died. I mean, it's not like it's all that unusual. What are we so afraid about on this one? There must be a reason.
I think there are a couple of things driving this. One is that, as I said last week, the reaction of the Chinese, right out of the, you know, out of the gate, once they got their hands on the fact or once they realized what they were dealing with, the reaction of the Chinese was much more significant than just a simple flu strain. The mass disinfections, the mass quarantines, all of that. Now some of that, a lot of that is driven by the fact that the Chinese communists care much more for perception. Their perception among their own people and the world than they do about, you know, the health of their own people. So, the overreaction was potentially driven by that. But I think a lot of us looked at that and said, you know, that even for a bunch of guys worried about, public relations, this is a massive reaction.
Yeah.
So there's some real concern. I think there's some real concern about watching that. And the second thing is, this was novel. You know, it's new. And you know, the efforts to try to cover it up, the efforts to suppress the reports, the efforts to try to shovel everything, cover everything up with dirt and say, hey, look, there's nothing here. All of that goes to fuel paranoia, which fuels social media, which fuels the interest, and again, on the news, on social media, nothing gets clicks, nothing sells advertising like a potential panic, and I think that's driving a lot of it too.
Well, I've been getting this stuff mostly from the right wing side that this was an escaped something out of one of their labs.
I think it's suspicious. I don't know if I'd say it's highly suspicious, But I think it's suspicious that this broke out in the city where they have their bioweapons facility, their principal bioweapons facility, which is a level 4 containment facility. But I mean, if it is a biological weapon, there's some real question as to how efficacious it is. There's some very, very disturbing connections between this disease, this virus, and the facility in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where, ironically, I lived for a long time, where a Canadian scientist, a Chinese scientist working in Canada, allegedly took the virus from that facility in Winnipeg and brought it to China for weaponizing. I mean, it could be that. Maybe that's the reason we're seeing the Chinese overreact. Maybe that's the reason they haven't brought in American or Western help to try to get this thing isolated. But there are a lot of balls in the air, and I don't want to, you know, say, yeah, I think it's this way or that way. But I will say there's some very suspicious circumstances surrounding this, but I don't necessarily think this particular kind of smoke leads to that particular kind of fire.
Well, the gentleman that our friend Greg was in the Uber with, the Uber driver from China, from Western China, was he, of course his numbers were way higher, but he also said, you know, Chinese don't go through this kind of an exercise for 100 people dead, and when you're 1.5 billion people there. I mean, it did seem really odd if you listen to the Chinese news, like you're saying, a little suspicious. Given the amount of, well, you know, we got 200 of these cases and 10 people have died, and meanwhile they got, you know, a bazillion people disinfecting everything. It did seem like an unusual response to the numbers we were getting.
Well, and I'm to the extent we chat with our guest this morning, I will just say these folks are exactly like every other communist dictatorship we've dealt with in the past, you know, whether it's North Korea or Russia or East Germany. Everything coming out of the government is a lie. I mean, the only way that you're going to get a truthful number coming out is if it's positive news and if it reflects positively on the regime. And so I would say every number that the Chinese government is giving is false, and we have to just sort of try to figure out what they're doing based on the things that we could see that reflect a more real, reflect the actual reality on the ground. And that, again, to repeat myself, what's driving this from the biggest concern that the Communist Party has in China is their perception among their people and their perception in the outside world. And that means they may be overreacting in an effort to contain this so that when the actual numbers get out, they aren't that bad. They may be overreacting because they know that it's a bioengineered virus that could mutate, you know, they don't really have control of, and that could mutate and into something much more dangerous. So we're doing a lot of speculation. What we do know today is that the spread of the disease is much worse. The mortality rate doesn't seem to have changed much beyond 2%, but the spread of the disease is much worse and probably a little more consistent with what we think is compatible with the preventative measures that we're seeing.
Well, as I've read, you know, more than I cared to, because it's pretty scary, the 1918 flu, I had not realized at all. The thing came through twice, and the first time through, it was just a bad fever for 3 days. It was laughingly called the 3-day fever, and somehow mutated and came back and killed everybody. Not everybody, but a lot of people. I mean, are these particular viruses, the fact that they seem to have jumped recently, let's assume that it is a coronavirus. Isn't the definition of that meaning jumping from one species to another?
The definition of a coronavirus is a virus that has a particular circular shape with extensions off of it that look like a crown.
I thought that it was what's the word where it's a virus that normally is in pigs or chickens or whatever, and people that work closely with chickens and pigs can get that flu. What's the name for the one that all of a sudden, if Maddie's working with the chickens and he gets it, that now it can get from Maddie to me and not from the chicken to me? What's there's a name for that mutation that all of a sudden allows it to?
I would cross species or interspecies transfer. That's all I can think of.
Well, evidently that's, I won't say common, but that happens a lot.
It happens a fair amount, and that's been the source of, you know, that's why it was swine flu or avian flu or some other kind of variant that makes these jumps, and the fact that the disease the fact that these viruses can make this jump is an indication of their mutability.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that why we're that afraid? Is because once it does something like that,
yep,
then it seems a little more spry, for lack of a better term, than a normal flu virus, which evidently stays the normal flu virus.
Well, the viruses will stabilize typically, you know, after some time, which is why we can make vaccines against them. But you know, every vaccine that you get for flu is generally effective against last year's variation, but not so much. It's better than nothing, but not so much against this year's variation. So, I think there's a lot of legitimate concern as to what this stuff does in a month, 2 months. I'm not sure the Chinese are confident that they've got their arms around the virus, what it is, how it spreads. I'm astounded at the widespread spraying of, I assume it's disinfectant. Clouds of disinfectant going on the front.
What are they using?
Is it
all
streets?
Is it all just bleach or vinegar? What are they using? I mean, what are we talking about? Bleach or vinegar or what? Other than that,
I don't know. But have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
The guy riding on a motorbike with a big backpack on and what looks like a mosquito fogger, just spraying away, and I'm going, okay. So whatever you're doing, and I don't know for all I know, they're spraying steam. I don't have any idea what that stuff is. It might be just a public confidence issue or a confidence move. But whatever they're concerned about, they are concerned about that virus sticking to outside surfaces and living on outside surfaces. They're sufficiently concerned about it to be spraying it with clouds of disinfectant. That's an issue.
By the way, what we've been talking about, Lou, it's our buddy here, Dr. Lipkin, is an American, and now is on 14-day quarantine because he was just over it. What he's saying exactly what essentially we were saying, but much more briefly and succinctly. Imagine that. The seasonal flu has killed more people than the coronavirus, but that is not why scientists and health officials are so concerned, infectious disease expert Ian Lipkin said. It's a new virus. We don't know much about it. Therefore, we're all concerned to make certain it doesn't evolve into something even worse. So there.
Yeah. So I mean, it's we don't know about this stuff. The Chinese don't know about it. If it was bioengineered, and it got out, then you might that would explain. That is one explanation for why they're doing this. They were working on bioengineering something. They, it was designed for efficacy, for staying power, and now it's out in their population, and so that would explain. That's one explanation for why they're reacting the way they are. So yeah,
Lou,
be more afraid of what you don't know.
Lou, I want to shift gears here some on that because the thing that this is. It's not all about trading, and it's not all about stocks and bonds, but didn't we just go through like 2 years of we got a trade deal, we don't have a trade deal every other day, where people in both governments were manipulating markets up and down, in my opinion, and if they weren't making a fortune, they somebody around them was. And now we're into this thing. Ah, this thing's all no problem. 2 days ago, and I was like, oops, it's a problem. It's the same thing. I mean, it's obviously a different subject, but what are we doing here? Like you say, the information is either randomly screwed up or it's being driven by somebody who's trading first.
I'm sure there's there are people exploiting this in the Chinese government somehow, and Chinese businesses that are associated with the government, which is pretty much every Chinese business.
Yep.
I'm sure there are people exploiting it, but I think what you're seeing is the typical response of a dictatorship to bad news, and a typical response of a dictatorship to not being able to control news. And somebody there said, you know what, it's going to get out that we've got 1,200 people dead or 1,300 people dead and 14,000 cases. So we might as well, it's going to get out. People aren't believing us. They look at the measures we're taking. We need to get these numbers and get the correction now. I'm guessing that's what happened. And then once that news was established, maybe somebody ran out and made some investments based on the fact that was going to come out of China. I don't know.
Lewin, this is not, it's not just, you keep saying,
I don't see this as a stock market manipulation as much as I see it as a public relations.
Oh, it's nowhere near as bad as the trade deal was, where those, you know, the deal was off and then 4 hours later somebody run down the thing in the driveway of the White House and say it's back on again. I mean, that was, to me, I've never seen anything like that over that period of time. But the thing that's odd for me here, and I don't, you keep talking about a communist nation, which obviously these guys are, but, and they keep trying to suppress the press and do all kinds of things. But in today's world, even a Luddite like me knows, I just said this the other day, and I've been repeating myself, unfortunately, there might have been a time, Lou, that you could give a speech in Peoria on a train, and an hour later give the speech somewhere, some other place where was Dutch from? Not Peoria, Midland or something?
Oh, Dixon.
Dixon. And maybe there was a reporter that would, on the train, point out the differences between the two speeches, but basically nobody would ever know what you said one place or the other place. Even our guys now are so ignorant that the senators and reps on both sides don't seem to realize that they say something totally opposite than they did 2 years ago. Immediately it's on tape. Right? Dershowitz, we've given his two speeches with the Clinton thing and this thing. And I understand he's representing both people, but still, it sounds weird even the Chinese have to know that in this day and age, you can't suppress all this stuff. I mean, I would say
they don't know that. I would say they believe, and there's some evidence for this, that they've got one of the most successful repressive systems in the world. They can shut their internet down. They police their internet. They can isolate and identify people who are walking through various areas by facial recognition. I would say that they believe they can control a lot of this and can restrict. They can shut their people's lives down. There's a tremendous amount of coercion in Chinese culture and
well, why are our guys so dumb they think they can do it?
Well, I don't know why our people think that they can do it, because they obviously can't. I mean, the president, of course, the president doesn't seem really to care.
No, he doesn't care
what anything people say about him, and I mean, I'm sort of astounded at the fact that nobody's managed to wrestle his phone away from him during this post-impeachment time frame. I every time something happens, I keep saying, Mr. President, just be quiet. Do your thing and just be quiet. You do not.
Lou, if you had to guess, would you say he's a poorer loser or a poorer winner?
I would say he's a guy who, reacts the way most of us would like to react, but our better judgment and the advice of our parents tells us not to be this way, but he doesn't have that kind of a filter.
You know, what's interesting, one of the things that I'm not big on the man's style. Plus, to be perfectly blunt, Lou, I think he has really blown a chance of someone from the outside to really make a difference. Now, whether the fact that the people were lined up against them, and I don't mean just the Democrats, I mean, you know, that the 500 congressmen that have gotten checks from Boeing and from the drug companies for the last 30 years, whether they just weren't going to be with him no matter what, and he couldn't really make any difference. I think that's probably part of it. I think he tried. I'm going to give him that. If he was in here, I would congratulate him. I think he tried. I think he just said, I can't really go there. This is just nuts. But I look at the difference between the leadership styles of the people that I've read. I mean, the guy that I thought was the most impressive was probably a name nobody even knows, Bill Stevenson, and he was the head, you would know that, Lou, the head of the British Secret Service during the war.
Right.
And they said that the amount of reports the man ran, read the equivalent of a Victorian novel a day, got 6 hours sleep. I'm just saying, Lou, when you're actually doing something, you don't have time for this crap, to be sitting on the can tweeting to people all the way.
Here's what, here's what I'm upset about. I'm upset about the fact that he cannot leave well enough alone.
And that's what I mean, he's a poor winner.
You know, after the impeachment, after the meltdown in Iowa, after other things were happening, I think I tweeted out something to the effect of, "What's the over under on how long it is before the president sends out some message that undercuts his advantage here and you know, completely vitiates it?" And I mean, that's the guy that got elected.
Yeah.
I understand completely why he pounded, he's fired all these people and removed all these people. I get it. And I think that's probably something that should have been done a long time ago. He's been faced with a massive amount of disloyalty in the executive branch. I characterize the Russia investigation and these other things as a soft coup attempt. And I'd be angry too. But I think what I try to do is keep that within my anger within the circle of the people right around me. And I would vent to them and maybe send them private text messages. But I would not be going out on Twitter. I'm furious at him, at the president, for his comments about Vindman and, you know, the military justice system needs to look at this guy and et cetera, et cetera. That's massively improper. Understandable, but manifestly improper. Everything with him becomes personal. And I think when you're in that position, you have to understand that even though your opponents are going to make it personal, you can't. And he's a counterpuncher. And he counterpunches at everything.
See, Lou, that's the one part you and I disagree with that, on that, because I'm going to say he's always first with the punch. He's the first to say that you're short. He's the first to say that your something's not big enough. He's the first to say you're sweating. I didn't see any of those people on the debate stage in the Republic, way back to in the campaign, lob an insult before he did. Not one.
Well, but in his worldview, I think, and we talked about this from day one. We talked about this after the election. In his worldview, he is assailed and has been assailed from the day his campaign started by people saying, you know, he's ignorant, he's boorish, he's stupid. He's uncultured. For heaven's sakes, they made fun of the way he ate his steak.
Yep.
All of this becomes personal to him, and I think he just looked at his political opponents as people who didn't give him any respect, which was true, and who didn't understand him, and who didn't care to understand him. And he just said, you know what, you want to treat me like this, you want to look at me like this, and I'm going to come after you.
Well,
and
Lou, I think there's
I
have an issue with both. We have a couple minutes here. Can we have, by the way, Jeff is calling in a bit, talking about the stuff from China.
Okay.
I have very big concerns in even the people I talk to now, Lou. They're convinced that they watch these shows like, you know, you're fired and you're the all absorbed big executive. That's not the way our government works. The subtlety that he doesn't get, I don't think most people get. When you get that job in the State Department, in the White House, every place there are, half the people didn't vote for you. Okay?
Oh, no, it's more than that.
Okay, but what I'm saying...
In the federal executive, the so-called deep state, it's probably about 80%.
What I'm saying, Lou, is in this country, we get to... He gets to get resignations and put his people in more than like any other country, like West Germany or like Britain or any place. But the idea that all of a sudden you are the chief executive, that everybody pays homage to you and you can run around firing people who just don't have that. I mean, that's not our way. Those people, you know, Tom Selleck said the best on Blue Bloods when he's talking to the mayor. He says, I serve at your pleasure. You can fire me, but I don't work for you. I don't think any, in our lack of civics country right now, I try to explain that to people. They think I have four heads. They think, no, he's like the chairman of a business. No, he's not. Right? S&P Futures still down 23. We'll be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollies, Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. Lou Michaels with us. In a few minutes, we have Mr. Jeff Joseph calling in, talking about something that Lou and I have been hinting at, but I didn't want to get into it until Jeff got here. It had to do with a lot of things in going on in China, and it's going to be interesting stuff, to say the least. S&P futures down 22.75, Dow futures down 206, NASDAQ futures down 79. So we're down this morning on really, I'm going to say three things. There's the coronavirus new statistics are not good. We also have a deficit number that now some people are talking about. Our deficit's 25% higher than it was last year. We got a president talking about more tax cuts on the federal level. So, and we just went through $23 trillion on the debt-o-meter, which is not so hot. Anyway, and we also had some new income survey, some survey coming out about Americans stressed on income because inflation is way higher than people are telling us. So it's starting to, we're not the only people anymore, Manny, talking about this. There's a few others out there where we're not alone.
We're the only ones that care.
Yeah, we're not alone anymore.
Republicans don't care. Democrats don't care. We care.
Well, you don't care if you're, if you're talking about it, you know, because the inflation is good if you own a baseball team, right? The X down 96 points, 0.7%, puts you down 117. It's 1.6%. That's a lot. Kekron down 53.9. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 33, only 0.1%. Shanghai down 20.71. Hang Seng down 93.3%. Bonds, the other way, as you might expect, with the rates are down, bonds are up. Rates are 1.59. The Bund is down back to minus 0.39, Japan minus 0.03. Oil, we've got down 12 cents, 51.05. The oil is stuck here. Maybe we get a loose comment as to why the OPEC and the Russians were going to do so much haven't done squat. Brent down 30 cents, 55.47. Natural gas unchanged at 184. RBOB 156. We've got gold up 580, 15.77. Silver up 11 cents, 17.61. Copper, as you might expect, well, copper's down a 0.7, but it's still 2.59, and everybody keeps thinking this copper is going to break out as soon as the coronavirus is gone, but it's anything other than gone this morning. Manny, what do you have for us, Trevi, weather sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Due to the snowy conditions, we have some slow travel times we'll get to in just a second. We had an earlier crash on the Dan Ryan outbound on the express lanes at 31st Street. That was causing significant delays all the way back to the circle. That accident has been cleared now, but the Ryan, especially on the outbound side, is still moving very slowly and affecting downtown traffic as well. So keep that in mind if you're heading toward the south side from downtown. But that's been clear, so that's good news. Normal travel times on the inbound side, Bishop Ford and I-57 are looking okay. Same for the Stevenson. No issues on the Eisenhower, just slow travel times due to the snowy conditions, but no accidents to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Off the expressways, out in the western suburbs is where we have most of our issues. Roosevelt Road, at Naperville Road, there's flashing traffic lights that are causing all kinds of delays. West of there, Roosevelt Road, between Crest Road and Technology Boulevard, out past North Aurora, that area, is closed due to an accident involving two cars and a Pace bus. So that just happened, and that's a significant issue. In Carroll Stream, Bloomingdale Road at Edgewater Drive, there is a crash. And in the northern suburbs, Route 176 at Bradley Road, there's an accident. But out in the western and northwestern suburbs especially, there's all kinds of snow cover and snowy conditions that are causing issues. A little slippery out there as well, so give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out this morning. In the city, not too terrible. We did get a few inches of snow overnight, but most of the main roads are clear, so it shouldn't be too bad as you're heading in this morning. Temperatures will begin falling today, though. Our high is where we're at right now, which is 25, will be zero tonight. Night with wind chills about 15 below zero, and then tomorrow a high of just 15 with wind chills right around zero for the highs. And then we warm back up into the low 30s on Saturday and Sunday, so it's brief, but not a great couple of days here. Right now it is snowy and 25, and that's our high for the day. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 68 today. Right now it's clear and 42. In sports, the Blackhawks have now dropped 5 in a row. They were shut out in Vancouver last night, 3-0. Coyotes were off. Bulls are off until after the All-Star break, which, of course, is this weekend in Chicago, NBA All-Star weekend. Suns beat the Warriors 112-106. College hoops, Loyola beat Evansville 73-66. Northwestern was blown out by Michigan 79-74. Chief.
So, Matt, if they renamed our street Technology Boulevard, would you guys make me move?
Yeah, it'd be a sign of changing times. I'm not sure you could keep up.
No, we haven't quite kept up with that. So, Lou,
we'll have Jeff here in just a minute.
Yeah, we'll have Jeff in just a minute. So let's not start something too long here.
Okay. Well, then I'll just say real fast. I wanted to just put a, throw a sports element in here. The baseball cheating scandal by the Astros, with the lawsuits that have been filed by the fantasy sports bettors and now by a pitcher, raised the issues that I thought the NFL, or exactly the issues that I thought the NFL was afraid of when Spygate erupted back in the mid-aughts with the New England Patriots. And that is the two things. The likelihood that, that your consumers were going to say, hey, we are entitled to see a product that is not distorted or diluted and is based on accurate numbers, and also the impact of the cheating on the careers of individual players.
Well, not to mention the owner said he was purer than Pharaoh's wife, and that obviously is not true.
I'm sorry, who said that?
The owner.
Oh, I don't care. I mean the fact that they allowed this, the team allowed this to happen and let this go forward, creates all kinds of nightmares for potential nightmares as you start getting the fantasy sports leagues and the advertisers involved who are, you know, basically relying on the clubs to produce a product that is you know, at least has some measure of predictability or reliability for the fan base and for the betting base.
Well, Lou, we have Jeff, so let's table this one. We'll talk about this one next week because I want to dig into what the owner. What was the name of the thing? Was it many? Was a code breaker or something? What was the code word?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, code breaker.
Code breaker.
And they called it the dark arts.
The dark arts
internally, which is hilarious.
Jeff Joseph, meet Lou Michaels.
I know the voice. Hi,
yeah.
Lou. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Jeff, why don't you, in your own words, so we don't start asking you questions where you forced to say stuff you don't want to say. In your own words, why don't you tell us what happened? And then I'll kind of let Lou, since he is better at this than me, probe a little bit so I don't screw this all up.
Well, I'll be delicate and dance around this a little bit. But so, of course, I'm editorial director of Luckbox Magazine. We publish 10 times a year.
And he's our guest every Tuesday.
National publication. I'm on your show, and we talk about the magazine from time to time. And the magazine is very theme-driven, so we do a deep dive into an issue that's timely and topical. So it could be big media, it could be big tech, privacy and security issues, robotics and automation. The list goes on. We did fake media in our most recent issue, and the one that we just are publishing today, digitally published at Luckbox Magazine or getluckbox.com. is the China issue, the China threat. We've been working on this for 4 or 5 months. We went deep, maybe 15,000 words, and coming from 9 or 10 different angles of everything about China and its current stealth war with America. So the cover is Uncle Sam taking the place of Tank Man, the Chinese student in Tiananmen Square, in that famous photo that's known by a lot of people here, but very, very few young people in China because it's been blocked from the internet. They haven't seen that photo. And then we do several stories that are hard looks at the manner in which China has been engaged in a stealth war with America on IP infringement fronts, on censorship, on privacy, of course, Huawei, 5G. The new Belt Road Initiative, which is a multi-trillion-dollar investment into the infrastructure of emerging countries, predominantly in China's hemisphere, but all over the world, for the purposes of getting into their balance sheets and into their infrastructure. And we looked at Chinese accounting for publicly listed stocks like Tencent and Alibaba, and some of the shenanigans that are going on there. And we had also invited Rashan Abbas, who is a Muslim activist representing the Uyghur Muslims, who are of which there's maybe less than 10 million in the world, but 4 million reside in China. Well, they've been incarcerated. They've been interned in the equivalent of what are being referred to as re-education camps. There is a mass rape program going on. There are people that have disappeared, that have just disappeared from sight. Roshana Bas, her sister, who is a doctor in China, was taken over 18 months ago and is not seen since. She continues to be outspoken about the atrocities there, and we gave her a significant opportunity to write to it. And we did this all knowing, well, all watching as coronavirus stats were starting to come out. Our fear was that this might be a little tone deaf because people are dying, and we knew a lot more. We knew about the news story today that broke. We knew about this over 3 weeks ago because our friends in China on the ground told us specifically that there were just body bags literally everywhere outside of hospitals, and that the game that the CCP was playing is that the Chinese Communist Party is if someone was not admitted to the hospital and diagnosed for coronavirus and they died, they were not being counted as a victim of the virus. So today we had it came out that an additional 25,000 cases were added, another 250 deaths, bringing the death toll up, it's well over 1,000. I think it's around 1,500, but the reported cases now are 60,000. 24,000 were added as a result of this new way of recording the disease, which means actually just recording it. We still think the numbers are shy of where they are. But I say all this as a backdrop against a benign story that we wrote about a Chinese-American living in the state of Illinois who happens to be an internet star on one of the, well, I can say on TikTok, but in China. She's not even on American TikTok. As a U.S. citizen or a Chinese citizen that's now living in the U.S., she, and then broadcasting back via TikTok to China, over the course of 3 months, she gained over 8 million followers and is now among the 200 most followed people on TikTok in China. We wrote a very benign story about her, no politics, just about her life in America and her celebrity back in China. And we didn't even ask her a political question. We didn't even go down that path. But when we were done putting the issue together, we gave her an advance preview of it. And her fear, so her and her husband, family, and lawyer, her fear of being associated with editorial that was so hard-hitting on China, even though her story, which she loved, was a friendly story about just a wonderful woman with a wonderful, warm personality that was just taken to TikTok. She's like the last person you would think of. She doesn't look like a celebrity. She's outside of the age range for a young celebrity. But it was a very benign and friendly story, but the absolute fear they had of the Chinese censors, who are everywhere at all given times, consuming all materials and then blocking it, was that just being in the context underneath the cover that we printed and next to those other articles about the Uyghur atrocities and Chinese accounting and censorship and privacy matters would cause her mother to be abducted by the CCP, interned, and possibly put to death. We couldn't. Obviously, we didn't want to have that on our shoulders, so we erased the story from the digital edition, and we actually made the hard financial decision to pull the issue from newsstand nationwide. But it wasn't an easy decision for us because there was nothing we wrote that wasn't truthful. It was just based on compassion. These were real, genuine concerns. She travels back to China frequently. And since we had all met her when we had interviewed her, you know, we really grew to understand her, and it was just, we began to share her fear. It was very real to them, to their family, and it's just another indication of what things are like back there. So that was the story. Without getting we've never pulled the magazine from newsstand because we're a new publication, especially with great timely topical cover. We were a little concerned about being tone deaf, writing a hard-hitting story on China as people are dying from a virus, but we addressed that in our editor's letter with a story basically saying there's no good time to call out bad actors, or there's no bad time to call out bad actors. And and that's the story. Sorry to take so long with it, but I wanted.
Well, I know you've been working on this. I mean, all your other issues have been pretty darn good, but you've been fired up for this one for months.
We have been. We put a lot of ammunition into it, and you know these stories are out there. We didn't break it. The New York Times broke the Wager story about 2 months ago, before we did. And there's been, you know, people who have been advocates on behalf of what's going on out there, but there's just so little noise about, you know, I mean, there's talk about the tariffs and the trade war, but that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the context that we found most interesting. We all know the Art of War, right? You know, the Chinese manual that's centuries old that we all have on our desks, and some of us actually even read from time to time. And in it, one of the key elements of the Art of War is, by Sun Tzu, is that the best wars are fought and won by staying off the battlefield. And this seems to be the policy that China has adopted toward the U.S. They will avoid military confrontation. They don't want confrontation, but they are fighting us on every battlefield. And retired Brigadier General John Spalding wrote a book called The Stealth War, which I'd recommend to all your listeners. It's a great read, and it covers and articulates and identifies every one of these areas where China is engaged as a bad actor, particularly against American interests. And collectively, the Chinese Communist Party refers to last century as the lost century, and they refer to this century as the century of retribution. And it is Western democracy in America that is in the aim of the, in their sights for this retribution.
Well, then
so
you,
it's kind of a chilling issue that kind of identifies all these different areas. And I hope your readers, our digital magazine is free to subscribers. Just go to getluckbox.com, so you'll be able to, you know, easily pick it up. You just won't be able to find this issue on newsstand anywhere because we had already printed and ran the story, and then we had to destroy those issues.
I'm going to lob this up over to Lou, but before I do that, I'm going to say when you mention the phrase American interests, immediately comes to mind to me there's a potentially a huge bifurcation between my interests, which, by the way, are right on the same page as yours, and maybe Microsoft or Apple's interests in what they're doing over there, and they feel they're making money and want to ignore all the rest of the stuff and sweep it under the rug as much as the Chinese government. But I'm going to pass that off to Lou. I mean, that's my view that we have. I've said for years that if you were President Jeff or Lou, and you walk into the Oval Office, you'll say, hey, these guys stole, you know, all the Beatle albums, or they sold all this. The next guy walks in and says, hey, they're drinking a billion Cokes a day. What's the problem? I mean, it's very uneven when you say American interests, right? I mean,
let me harken back to Vladimir Lenin, who I believe it was, said, we will buy from the capitalists the rope that we will use to hang them. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, or maybe a more accurate translation is the capitalists will sell us the rope that we will use to hang them. I think that's very much the sort of the manner in which the Chinese leadership, which of course is a direct descendant from that political culture, looks at this. I was just going to ask Jeff, what in terms of the threat assessments? I mean, I look at this as a sort of an ironic situation. Just as our educational system is producing and sort of an anti-nationalist fervor among our youth, you know, the idea that we can't, you know, we need to be citizens of the world, and you know, promoting your country's not particularly any better than anybody else's country. Other countries have points of view. The Chinese are very strongly nationalist. And have, which in your, you hint at this in your discussion about how they characterize the last century and the coming century. They're very strongly nationalist, and this I think drives a lot of what we're seeing. I mean, they are not looking for kind of international cooperation. They are looking for international dominance. Is that what you see in your reports?
Well, it's absolutely what we see. And again, I think John Spaulding, Brigadier General, retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General John Spaulding, "The Stealth War" is an excellent book that really addresses that that point. That yes, this is a stealth war, an undeclared war off a conventional, traditional military battlefield, but a battle that's being waged on multiple fronts for that purpose of dominance. And then the Belt and Road Initiative, which also, in the same way that this stealth war today draws its, you know, references centuries earlier from the Art of War, the Belt and Road Initiative, which is China's current multi-trillion-dollar commitment to invest in the infrastructure of other neighboring countries, is not for altruistic purposes. It's exactly to exert the type of control that you just alluded to, and it draws its reference historically in the Silk Road, where all roads ultimately led to China for trade. And the idea of the Belt and Road Initiative, which has already invested over a half a trillion dollars in neighboring countries, is some of the threat of that is quantified in what occurred in Sri Lanka, where China lent a port, which I cannot pronounce, which begins with an H, where they lent Sri Lanka a material amount of money because they're lenders. You know, they lend us as well. And when Sri Lanka couldn't pay back, they took their largest port for 90 years, which is the central hub of trade activity in Sri Lanka. And this is the intent, this is the fear, is that this puts them in the balance sheets. This allows them to exert control, both with respect to trade and economic and political control, and that China is actively engaged in battling Western interests on multiple fronts for the purpose of becoming the primary superpower. You know, they're second in GDP right now, and they aim to be number one.
Does your magazine or do the articles address the issue of Chinese students in the United States and the Chinese Student Association?
Yes, it does, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because now another abhorrent feature is this recently enacted social scoring system, which exists in China now, and I know it sounds like a bad Black Mirror episode, but it's real, and basically Chinese residents are scored based on a lot of things: their contribution to the community, their contribution to the party, and they have a social score. Since they have so much data, because the cameras that they have from Hikvision are on every corner, and they acquire all this data, so people who are, you know, improperly dressed on the street, there's a trend among some Chinese youngsters to wear pajama-like clothing, well, their social score drops the next couple of days. God forbid your dog drops something on the sidewalk that you don't pick up, they know you have a dog, you're going to lose that dog, and your social score drops. Social score gives you access to practically everything now, and to answer your question, it reaches across the oceans. So if you're a Chinese student studying in the U.S., interning for Google, the fear now of the State Department is that influence can be placed on that student, that if you don't provide us some information as to what's going on at the company you're working at in the U.S., your parent's social score will be declining. And there are not anecdotal, but real examples of that occurring. And yes, what you just spoke is very narrow and relatively unknown, but it's happening.
Jeff,
because of this social scoring process.
Well, you mentioned about your magazine. We only have time for like one or two questions. I'll try to make it a good one. Are there people, is that research from them being done here, you think, or there? I mean, is there a group?
It's being done here.
So it's like a 3 days at a Condor, people. Or people
they're
are
using the social scoring to as an underpinning of a intelligence network in the U.S. So there, as we know, there's many Chinese students in the U.S., and many of them graduate and go on to work for Chinese technology companies or for American technology companies. And this, you know, obviously this is not about Chinese people. This is about the CCP. If you really want to, you know, feel heartbroken, watch, which is a film that we review. We review two important films. One of them is called American Factory, and one of them is called One Child Nation. They're both reviewed in this issue. One Child Nation is just devastating. We all know about the one-child policy that China had forever. But what you don't know is the propaganda that was inflicted on the Chinese people to actually believe it was in their best interest. And the documentary interviews midwives who performed forced abortions, some in the tens of thousands. One woman was responsible for 50 to 60 abortions, and a good majority of them were forced abortions for people who were, you know, Chinese people who were about to run afoul of the one-child rule. Children were left at food markets, just left, in, you know, as infants in food markets. And to close out the story, to get back to the question that prompted it, was interviewing the Chinese people when they talk about it. The propaganda is so effective that even though a few break out in tears recalling the atrocity of what occurred, the majority of them say, well, listen, it may have been difficult, but it was policy. It was party policy in the best interest of China. And the indoctrination is amazing to watch firsthand. It was a great glimpse into what's going on there. That's called One Child Nation. It's a documentary you can watch on Netflix.
Jeff, we're going to have to let you go, but boy, this is really something. We're going to send this tape to you for sure, in case you want it to send it or do anything with it, because I've never heard anything quite like this, Lou. I mean, you guys, this was special.
Let me throw one more thing out. A senior Harvard professor, we can link to
exactly.
This. Was recently picked up by the United States authorities for taking, I believe it was hundreds of thousands of dollars directly from Chinese sources without advising the United States government. In other words, he was actively concealing his sponsorship from China.
That's right.
Where they,
and the number is in the millions, and
yes.
Let's call him what he was. He was spying for the Chinese government.
He was spying, exactly.
Yes.
And so the intersection of a country who has been educating its population on a very pro-nationalist basis with a country that has been trying to decrease the nationalist focus of its citizens is potentially nightmarish.
If I could...
That's what we're looking at.
If I could I ask you two gentlemen if we could reconvene at some point? Because I'd love to explore the role of the multinational company in this whole mess. And I think both of you guys would be pretty fascinating. I mean, where does Apple sit on this fence? But we got to put that off to another time. Thank you, gentlemen, both. Because if you wouldn't mind, you guys get on well together. I don't know. It must be the politics or something. I don't know.
Might be. Nice to chat with you.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to smart people. You know that. That's the whole nature of this show, Chief.
Anyway, take care of both of you guys. We'll try and maybe do this next week because I'm dying to find out where they are because I'm sure Jeff has some insight into that. SP Futures still down 20. Be right back, Mr. Farihamzi.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Farry Hamzy with us as well. SP Futures down 19, NASDAQ Futures down 76. Dow futures are down 206. This is because, well, a lot more cases of the coronavirus. You got Tesla down $35. This thing is $170 off their high as they came out this morning and said they need $2 billion more in equity capital, which they've been denying forever as the stock ran up to 900. And now, this is an interesting piece of news there, Farry, wouldn't you say, considering they've been saying all along they didn't need it?
Yep, of course.
But,
well, you know, everybody's going to blame this thing, so. We've seen them in some of the MD&A, you know, management discussion analysis. Some of you guys got conference calls after the earnings. They all, it's a CYA act.
Well, that is the truth. They, what do you make of the this morning's activity versus yesterday? This virus is going back and forth like the trade war.
Yeah, well, the two schools thought here, from what I hear, again, I'm not a researcher, I'm a sponge. Some of the folks I talked to down here, and they're reasonably well off. So big money wants to protect what they got already. You know, wealth, so wealth management more than anything else, or wealth preservation more than anything else. They say they don't believe the numbers. They say, what if they give you 1,000 new cases came up overnight, how do you know it's not 5,000? You're dealing with China. So I say, is this fake news?
Yeah.
And they're Trump kids. They just kind of freeze there. They don't have an answer for that. So hold that thought for a moment. Let's go to the next case. Next case is we do get these numbers change. We get reactive, but also we're very high up market wise. Look at what's going on with advanced decline. Look at where we are with your non-confirming stuff. Look at 200-day moving averages not keeping up with it. New highs. It just continues. If you look at, for example, our proprietary SP2, which is a very good at tops on bottom, is beginning to give a short-term sell signal. I think we're just overbought. We're reacting. Look at what Apple, I mean, especially Apple, or especially Microsoft and Amazon have done recently, that parabolic move. Now we're at overbought condition. This could be a good excuse. The numbers are up there, but the key thing is look at death rate. The death rate are still hovering around 2.4% area of the cases they detected, except, again, it goes back, do you trust the numbers or not from China?
Well, you don't, and people are obviously worried about, according to the one story, well, I think several stories.
Wait a second, what did change yesterday? You just had that question. Did they trust China yesterday then, and not today?
No, but they popped out with the
look at the last 2 weeks what we have done on SPX. We have known about this thing for a while now. It's more than 2 weeks now, so.
Well, Fari, unfortunately, Jeff was just saying, talking about they knew these numbers beforehand because the way they're counting them, if you just die and you weren't in the hospital, you're not counted as having the virus or dying from it. So when they talk about a new way to count, they're starting to include some of those people. He said they knew these numbers 2 weeks ago. So yeah, but that doesn't mean just because some company starts doing lousy, and you and I might know it, which, you know, maybe we wouldn't, but when the announcement comes out, most people don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's why you make announcements.
Well, it also depends how closely you're watching it. I mean, I have to go to a quasi-expert. I wouldn't call him an expert per se, but he hangs out with a bunch of experts, and he takes a lot of detailed notes. And also, you know, he's heavy in the market himself, and he needs to preserve what he's got, and he provides some analysis for us, and we're grateful. So some of this stuff is not easy to digest. It's just something very different. But
well, you know, Fari, when it comes to being an expert, remember back in the day, they had this all day. You were on it a lot. This all day finance show here in Chicago, and one of the shows for like an hour and a half a day. Right before your time, Matty, was an expert. And so all you had to do was get on that show, and you were an expert.
Right.
My brother was on there a few times, Dr. J, everybody was on it. Those guys actually are experts, but the other people out there were just on there. You know, just saying. Matty Barber would be on there as an expert on sports betting, and God knows, I might be on there as an expert on God knows what. You know, I don't know.
Well, one hand... drinking beer continuously.
It could be something. Yeah. You know, I'm not a big beer guy.
Especially if your brother supplies that. All you need is hold a pipe.
Dan makes some really good beer.
He doesn't even need to pour that for you.
No, that stuff. Some of his stuff you can walk across, but his beer is very good.
There you go.
But you know what?
What else is going on? Tell me something new.
Well, I'm a little. As we're heading into the numbers that came out yesterday, one of the reasons I think why we're down here, and not just because you're always trying to find a reason, but some guy came out with a real sharp article yesterday regarding this current deficit. And then this morning as well, there was a big survey that came out talking about even people making well over $100,000 a year are tapped on money because the educational expenses and taxes and stuff are going up so much that the stress levels of people because lack of money is almost as high as they were in 2007. They're creeping right back up there. And the Fed just came out and said people's credit card balances are back to being records. So all kinds of kind of weird stuff. Our deficit is 25% over last year in the first 3 months. None of this stuff is good. I mean, it's horrible, in fact. And then you still have the Fed throwing money out there to keep the market up and to keep wages of quarterbacks up there and the value of baseball teams. I mean, it's not helping anybody else.
And then they want to cut back on the social network. Social safety net, I should say. Sorry, my coffee hasn't kicked in.
Well, all you're doing is kicking stuff.
I was
from the
up feeling a little bit last night.
But all you're kicking from stuff from the federal government to the states, and you're saying you're lowering taxes because you're also kicking some of the programs to somebody else, and they got to raise taxes. So nothing is going to solve anything until regular people make more money, right?
Yes, we're filling more jobs. We have a lot of wrecks we're not filling. And you know, look at the participation rate. It's not doing that hot. So, it's how are you looking at these hedonics? So, I don't know. I'm kind of agnostic to all this. You know, to me, we have two economies here. Bifurcated.
Oh, absolutely.
you got the 1% and you got the rest.
As much as everybody complains about the higher the jabs not being from the higher E, you know, then people aren't matching the jabs. I don't see any in some areas actually. In
you don't
some,
see what?
Well, I was going to say I don't see a whole lot of movement to to fill that void. Some people are doing it.
Go to Silicon Valley. Look at the open rigs they have, and there's so much limitation on the H-1B visas. So H-1B, I'm sorry, H-1B visas. So no, we're never going to fill those rigs.
Well, but we also.
And I'm not sure some of those guys want to come here.
No, but we're also
situation that we're treating foreigners here. I don't care if you were born here or not, but I mean, there's whether you're a natural citizen or you're you got naturalized, you were born here. Either the way we treat the foreigners here is so awful that we forget that this is a country of immigrants. All the great minds here were immigrants, if you think about it. And it's just, why wouldn't people want to come here?
Because it's natural. What good is a country club if everybody can get in, Frank?
Pardon me?
What good is your country club if everybody can get in?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's probably a good chance some of those guys are qualified. The qualified was, I'm not going there. That's fine, I'm here. But I read the newspapers, yeah.
But what you,
and we'll have these high-paying jobs that never get filled.
But what you see, I don't know if you listen in on Wednesday and Friday when Kevin's on, Kevin is working one of the, out of all the places, Vary, that, the junior college setup in Northwest Indiana that Kevin is a part of. He's a, you know, he's a dean or whatever you want to call it in one of the areas in supply management and so forth. They are doing yeoman's work at trying to match a lot of what the skills that are needed in the new, it's a huge transportation hub now, Northwest Indiana, and a distribution hub. You know, the stuff that used to be in Chicago is now there, essentially.
Right.
So, they have all kinds of classes now where people can become somebody who knows how to do this, how to run the computers for a warehouse, for this thing. They have classes to teach people how to do that. Now, it's not like, yes, I mean, at Pullman.
You need classes for them?
No, but I'm saying if you needed, at Pullman, if you needed somebody to be an expert welder, you didn't just go somewhere and think you're going to hire a guy. You had somebody maybe had a little bit of experience, then you taught him your way. It was probably a 6-week, 8-week training program. You wanted him to do it right so everybody in your place did it the same way all the time. I mean, this whole idea that companies can just grab people with no training or whatever, but I'm saying there's always, nothing ever matches, Farry. Your wall doesn't look the way
it's... Oh, no, I was talking about high-end jobs with high-paying incomes for people like engineers and... I'm talking about Silicon Valley. Okay, I'm not talking somebody pushing buttons, or you have to teach them either in vocational school. That's all.
But what
those are the jobs that are high paying when they cannot fill. There's 5 million recs open.
Okay, well, okay. My point still is everybody wants somebody from Stanford or someplace. But can somebody go to work at one of those places and have a junior college or someplace at night, just like going to law school here in Chicago? Can you become an engineer at night out there at a decent place and learn the same stuff you do somebody else? Probably, but I would say probably, because this is America. Somebody's probably doing that. But is it easy? Is it paid for? Is the company behind it? Or are they just going to get up on TV and say, oh, man, I got, 48 recs out there and nobody's walked in? At some point, you got to get from point A to point B, right? I mean, that's the situation today. It doesn't have to be the situation 2 years from now, does it? But I don't see.
Who knows?
But I'm saying I don't see a whole lot of the movement from one place to the other.
Haven't had it certainly so far.
No,
I agree with you there.
I mean, there's no vision here of any consequence in any part of our politicians that I could see. Is there? I mean, this all kind of started. A lot of it started with the 2008-2007 fiasco where people could not go elsewhere to find a job because they were buried in their house. They couldn't move. They couldn't leave. So people got sort of, but before that, I mean, if there was a company hiring in Tulsa, they would advertise in Chicago and people would go.
And they accommodate your transfer and all that. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, I mean, I don't have it's hard for me to get the feel that every single time and these asset prices go down, the Fed pours more money and it keeps the asset prices up. And it seems to be so indoctrinated into our being now that you almost can't even argue against it. Even the smart people on CNBC talk about, well, the Fed will just put more money in.
Yeah, the smart people on CNBC, I mean, then?
Well, I'm saying they're invested. They're
okay, just kidding with you. Yeah, I was just playing.
Well, I don't think a lot of them have the economic background I do. Clearly not at the same place I went with the monetary.
They don't have your education. That's
well,
sure.
They do. It's just different. I mean, if you went to Harvard, you wouldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm talking about the choice. I'm talking about 70% of the bell curve.
Well, I'm saying not many people had Milton Friedman for class. So, I mean, I really believe this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, so, but I mean, you have to notice the anecdotal things. You know, Maddie and I were talking 2 weeks ago about the baseball teams. They're up 3 times in value in the last 10 years. And then yet somebody is going to come out and say there's no inflation. What are you from Mars?
Well, but I mean, that's not your day-to-day, spending patterns for the average consumer. But the problem with that is you don't have more, you probably don't have a room or a capacity to handle another baseball team. So you're dealing with limited supply. If you're a one percenter and you need to have a baseball team in a portfolio, we have to pay more.
You're
paying 3 times more? God bless America.
I don't disagree, Farrah, except everybody thinks that you just landed in the right spot. It's like people in 1970 when inflation started to pile up, or 71 or 72, just thought they landed in the right spot in the oil business. Never even. It's I'm going to say, how's this going to sound? Inflation is like a staph infection. It goes for the weakest point. It's never even. It's never even. It's never the price of hot dogs go up double just because the price of hamburgers went up double. They may or they may not. This time it's going. This time it's being fed totally almost into assets. Stock market. Mm-hmm. It's going into the bond market for sure because they're buying that, right? So as soon as the Fed decides instead of just put the money into the system normally, when you start buying up these things and actually driving the interest down to where it is. All you're doing is you're going to inflate asset prices for somebody else. So now there's no way you and I can get into the baseball group now. 25 years ago, we might have been able to put people together and bought a team for
a couple of
million.
It's like houses in the Bosworth Peninsula.
Yeah.
You know, they were offered at $40,000. Guess how much they are now? Like $3 million.
Yeah.
So over 30 years. So if you didn't get in there at $40,000, let's say $100,000, okay, you're done. No way you're going to be able to get in. You can't even get a garage up there now. And it's, you know, 1,000 feet over LA, right by the ocean. You see Catalina and the clean breeze and the excellent schools. Everybody ran for it. So limited supply, a lot of demand. That's what happens.
But every single time there's inflation, it spits out somewhere else. Last time it started with oil and then went to food because there's so much oil involved in the food process. With the
next probably is going to be AI.
Yeah. Well,
that's going to be our next commodity. It won't be oil.
Well, here's
the next China. I'm sorry, the next Saudi Arabia is China.
Yeah.
Take a look. You'll see. Think about that. Mark this day. Write it down. Look at it 20 years from now.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, Farrah, is that this time the inflation has been medical care, higher education, actually all education, if you include property taxes. It's medical care, education, and just other assets around. I mean, every time you go to a restaurant now, I'll be brief with this, I've said it 100 times. You go to a restaurant now and you see the prices up, it has nothing to do with the price of the eggs, Farrah. It has to do with the rent, the lease, the gas bill, that stuff. The property taxes on the building, the overhead. It has nothing to do with the $12 omelet, the eggs in there cost, I'm going to say the eggs cost 30 cents, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
paying less for healthcare.
Yeah, well, but if somebody's paying that, I mean,
if they're offering it, if not just the owner, healthcare.
Yeah. Well, but either way, I mean, if you talk about a bifurcation, the median family in this country makes somewhere between fifty six to sixty thousand, depending on which survey you look at. If you are getting your healthcare paid for, that person, that family has to feel like they're making 75 or 70. If you're not, you got to feel like you're destitute. If you're actually paying, you know, 15, 20 grand plus deductibles on top of that when you're only making 56. Wow, Farrah. I mean, the difference between those two families, one paying and one getting, has got to be like 30 and 75. It's got to be like being you know, halfway okay and being poor.
Right. No, I'm with you.
So, I certainly do not want the market to collapse because, you know, I got a lot of people that are long stocks. And I, even though I have puts on most of them, we're not going to make it all back. I know that. But the other side of the coin is I also don't want them going to a height where when they do collapse, it's very painful because I know, not here at PTI because we don't really do this kind of stuff, someplace somewhere, the Schwabs and Fidelities of the world have people that are right on the edge of their margin. And if the stuff goes down, they're going to get buried because people lose more on the way down than they made on the way up, unfortunately.
Of course.
And what do you make of are we going to get a commodity comeback here somewhere? I mean, I keep looking at some of these copper stocks, and they're starting to percolate a little bit, yet copper itself can't get out of its own way. It's still 260.
Unfortunately, just to be 100% transparent with you, you know, I'm probably the wrong guy to ask that question. I'm more of a, you know, a S&P 500 guy. So, but why would you want commodities to come back? There's no inflation right now.
Well, I mean,
the demand is slowing. You think, I think for a while we're going to have a little slowdown here. And then, until this thing clears up.
Well, when you say
coronavirus clears up, I think we have a little bit of slowing down, I think.
All right, so you've got... let's leave the no inflation part there. I won't argue that, but in the last 3 weeks, we've had the Chinese government throw $250 billion at something. We have the Fed, which had dropped down to 7.9% money supply growth. They must have got a little shiver up there behind last week about something. It's back up to 8.5. So we have every single central bank around the world that means anything pouring all these cash into the system. I don't think the supply of gold worldwide is growing 10% a year. So it's not about gold. It's about currency. I mean, if you look at the one thing that brings us home more than anything, Fari, look at the Venezuelan stock market last year.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Venezuelan money, which is dropping like a stone, right? It's up 200,000%. In terms of dollars, it's
US down.
No, market is up 200,000%.
Oh,
in their currency,
their market is up.
Yeah, okay. So in their currency,
in the local currency,
in our currency, it's down 84%. So it's not about. I mean, this is what I'm concerned about.
That makes sense. Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm concerned about. I think we're reaching a point where when Apple goes to 400 here, like it maybe will, it's not about Apple. It's about the dollars valuing Apple being worth less. And once you get to that stage, you've got a problem. And we were back into what's his name, the guy who just died, the big tall guy, Fed chairman, begins with a V.
Volcker.
We're back into Volcker's time because somebody's going to come in and say we got to pull this back. And if all of a sudden
because we have a malaise now,
yeah, and all of a sudden then we go back to 1%.
So where's the peanut farmer?
We need him. Maybe we'll put him back in. He's still alive, isn't he?
He's always teaching. He's teaching church.
Yeah.
Listen, you saw that last year in Iranians in the Tehran Stock Exchange too.
Yeah,
same phenomenon. You know, pretty much the canceling of the JPOA was one thing, but as new sanctions came in, you see an incredible rise in the real estate holdings in Iran, drop in stocks. And devaluation of the local currency. Actually, in dollar terms, it didn't change.
Right.
In the local currency, it did. Yeah. Yeah. So. Everybody basically, because they don't trust their own currency, everybody traded sold or bought in dollars. It was just the issue of what was the currency play was at that time. What was the quoted value of dollar in the Yuan Toman? So, yeah, we saw that.
Well, that's when I was in graduate school, even undergrad, the hardest thing, especially for some dumb Midwesterner who only knew dollars, right? Once in a while, I'd see somebody come back from Europe and I'd say, what's that? It's a pound, a pound note. The hardest thing is to start realizing every time you value something, you value it in terms of something else. And it could be either side of the transaction.
And it's valued because of a reason.
Yeah.
Because you're doing that transaction. If you take a transaction out, there's no valuation at that time. And then somebody else replaces it.
Well, because I mean, we could be in a barter world where, I'm a painter and you're a bartender, and if I paint a room at your place, it's worth 20 free beers. or 30 free beers.
Yeah, but you don't know how to evaluate that, and that could be
well. What I'm saying,
quite,
all of a sudden it'll change.
Cumbersome, yeah.
All of a sudden it'll change. There might be not very many painters, and there's a big demand. And I go, hey, fire! I'm willing to paint your room this time, but you know what? Price is going up, buddy. It's 35 beers. It's not. So it's not a, one or the other has changed. We don't know which, but the fact is the relative change is there, right?
Well, I know your brother makes good beer, so I'll give you less beer.
Yeah, well, he makes. Yeah, but, you know, there you go. Let's just say sometimes one of Dan's beers is worth two other beers, shall we say.
Exactly, there you go.
But one night we had a celebration of his beers, talking about off the record. And guess who came in and had a few of his beers? And all of a sudden, all he wanted to talk about was the White Sox and how he loved Chicago and the White Sox, former Mayor Daley.
Oh, is that right? Awesome, yeah.
This beer's really
good. He used to hang out with us at Union League in his robe in the sauna.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. In the mornings, if you made the early sauna, you had a treat there every day almost. So.
Well, he bagged the Union League and he came over to LaSalle Club for a while because less people were kind of at him.
No, he wasn't a member, but we never caught him. We never said no.
Oh.
The mayor of the city.
Yeah, I know.
He's a sitting mayor of the city. What are you going to tell him? No? His dad owned the city. You going to tell him no?
Well, he was there.
He just came in when he wanted to.
He was Sheriff Sheen was there, and Assistant Sheriff Tom Dart is now the sheriff. They were all there. Farry, thank you very much, buddy. What do you think?
You got it,
was it buy to dip again today or what? Real quick.
No, we went short on the S&P with Diamond Dodgers last night. We're going to hold it for a few days.
All right, but take
care of the weekend. Better talk next week.
All right, SP Futures down 19. NASDAQ Futures down 71. We'll be back with Mr. David Edelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Matt Weber, and Mr. David Andelman as well. S&P futures down 19.25. They were down a little more, but they've come back a little bit, but not exactly a big bounce here at all. Nasdaq futures up down 74. We had the Dow down 166. Individual stocks moving at Apple down 365, but Apple was up like $9 yesterday, so I don't know if that's all that significant. Cisco after earnings down 270 per crore, playing at 47.19 as they little bit of a disappointment. Other than that, well, we also have Tesla on $32 to $735 as they announced that they're going to go out for more stock. They're going to dilute the equity of the company, which is, of course, something they denied, and all of a sudden saying, no, they're going to. So I don't know if that's all that kosher, but it is in today's world, I guess. DAX down 59.4%, FTSE down 118. They're down pretty heavy. 1.6%, CAC around down 45.7%. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 33, not much, 0.1%. Shanghai down 20.7%, Hang Seng down 93.3%. So again, not much down over there either. With the increase in the coronavirus numbers that came out of China this morning, big increase, they decided maybe to count a little bit more of it. That's special. 10-year 1.60, the Bund minus 0.38, Japan minus 0.03. We've got oil. Not doing much, up 2 cents, 51.19. Oil is stuck here. Brent down 8 cents, 55.71. Natural gas, 186. RBOB, 157. We got gold bouncing a little bit as the, only up 390 now, was up like $6 earlier. So, like I said, bouncing a little bit. 15.75. So hanging in there, just like, David said, the other day. We'll see what he says today. That 1550 or 1600 are kind of a key, and it's right in the middle. It's like it stayed there all week. Copper, 259, so we're going nowhere. Matty, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We got issues, Chief, all over the place. We'll start on the south side. Bishop Ford on the outbound side, just before 130th Street, there's a crash that's been moved to the shoulder. This has travel times from the Dan Ryan to 8094 up to 22 minutes and growing. Expect delays as crews work to get that cleared. Just northwest of there, looks like on the I-57 southbound, just before Halstead Street, there is a crash blocking the right lane. A couple of issues on I-80 eastbound before Wolf Road. In the southwestern suburbs, there is a crash blocking the left lane. And then just over the Indiana border, 8094 on the westbound side at Kennedy Avenue, there is a crash. Lakeshore Drive, we have a crash on the northbound side at 31st Street coming up toward downtown from the south side. That's blocking the right lane. No issues right now on the Stevenson. Stevenson is looking okay. Traffic building steadily on the Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. We do have a crash, though, right near the 9094 exit on the Stevenson, rollover crash. So right near the exit as you're getting onto the inbound Stevenson from 9094, there's a rollover crash there somehow, and that's causing a significant issue.
Manny,
right around the circle.
Speed limit 60, if slippery 70, if you have a four-wheel drive and slippery 90.
That's right. We got the south side covered. Now looking at the north side, a little bit better, but we do have a crash blocking the right lane on the outbound Kennedy at Montrose. That's causing a bit of a slowdown heading out toward O'Hare. And then north of there on the Edens,
Looks like there is a crash on the outbound side before Willow Road. So Montrose to Lake Cook Road is up to 31 minutes. Expect delays on the Edens heading north. In the northwest, it looks like on the Jane Addams Tollway, I-90 westbound before Barrington Road, there's a crash on the right shoulder. All kinds of issues off the expressways. Point being, give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out this morning. There is snowy, wet, slick conditions out there that are causing all kinds of spin-outs and issues at this hour. So keep that in mind as you're heading out. Weather today, our high is where we're at right now, 25 degrees. The snow will taper off and then the temperatures will begin to fall. Tonight will be at 0 degrees overnight with wind chills about 15 below. And then tomorrow, a high of just 16 with wind chills right around zero for the high. Then we warm back up into the low 30s over the weekend, but a couple of about 36 hours of very cold temperatures right after the snow is done falling. So that'll be great. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 68 today. Right now it's clear and 43. In sports, Blackhawks have now dropped 5 in a row. They were shut out in Vancouver last night, 3-0 to the Canucks. Coyotes were off. Bulls are off until after the All-Star break, which of course is in Chicago this weekend, beginning on Friday night. And the Suns beat the Warriors 112-106. And in college hoops, Loyola remains 2 games out of first place in the Valley. They beat Evansville 73-66. Northwestern is in dead last in the Big Ten. They were blown out at home last night to Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines 79-54. Chief.
David, how are you?
I'm fine.
Manny, I have a question. What happened to DePaul?
It's a very good question because I saw them early in the year and they beat Iowa, who's a top 20 team. They beat Texas Tech on a neutral floor, or actually at home, and they're a top 25 team. And they were competitive in a couple of other games and looked like a really strong team that had a chance to be on the bubble. And then they got into conference play, and those coaches, you know, they know each other's teams so well, and they've just been exploiting DePaul's weaknesses, and they're in last place in the Big East.
Are they?
So they have no shot of making the tournament unless they get red hot and win the conference tournament, which is unlikely. They're definitely better than they have been over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, but still nowhere near being a tournament team.
Is there a depth issue?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't followed it that closely. They have some talent, but I think teams are just kind of, I don't know if they're zoning them and making them shoot from the outside, and they don't have good shooters. But when I watched them play a couple of games earlier in the year, they looked very athletic. They were together. They could get to the rim. They could rebound. When you're going against really good coaches that play you twice a year, every year, and know all of your strengths and weaknesses, as opposed to playing out of the conference where they kind of look at you once and that's it, you really get exploited if you have any weaknesses, and they certainly do.
Jeez. David, we got an interesting turnaround here this morning. Yesterday it was all good, especially on the closes. Apple shot up in a couple other places, and money going the exact same stocks. Now the Amazon's joined the fray again, back from 1900 to 2150.
And Boeing.
Yeah.
Boeing.
Well, I mean, it is.
That's the heaviest weight in the Dow.
I don't see what's all so good about this. You know what? I mean, I'll lob this one out there, David. If you can take a $25 billion hit and screw up as bad as these guys have for 2 years and come out smelling like a rose, you're too big. Just saying.
Well, how about their deliveries in January?
Well, they had trouble with the 787s too, right?
Zero.
Wow.
No deliveries, none.
I thought they were still pumping out some 777s and 87s.
Zero deliveries in January.
Wow. That's not good.
And the stock's rallied ever since.
It's, I guess they'll figure we'll just feed enough money back to them on the military side or something. They're probably right.
I guess.
All right, we got to talk about gold. Cobb, what is... I wouldn't want to hit you up. I should have warned you. I was going to hit you up on somewhat of a with all this stuff going on worldwide. What are we doing commodity wise? Is this thing been bad for grains? Has it been bad for? I mean, it's China. It's almost like it's shutting down. I mean, it's got to affect coffee with all the Starbucks places closed and all the other stuff.
Corn has been sideways. I mean, just dead sideways in about 10-12 cent range. And let me put up soybeans, which, you know, the most important. It broke, you know, big time from like 965 to about 870. Now it's rallied about 20 cents. livestock is. I thought the livestock might, you know, might benefit, especially pork, from the phase one deal, but evidently some of the swine flu things that, you know, still affect, supposedly wiped out one third or more of all the hogs in China. Evidently they have that under control, so hogs really took a dump from like 77 to like 62, come back to about 64 now. So I mean, there's certainly no ball of fire in the commodities at all.
I don't I read something.
And crude oil, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it took the big dump, had a couple of days of rally, but no, I think the strength in the gold, or at least, you know, maintaining that, you know, 1550 support that I said was critical, keeping it at least in the middle of the range between 1550 and 1600, it's all, you know, whatever. Fear, hedge, Bitcoin, you know, whatever you want. Some hard assets in your portfolio.
Yeah, the you know, it's hard to figure out. I mean, I don't. There hasn't been any sort of a port closure over there or anything like that yet. Hopefully, it never happens. But it seems like
some of those provinces though are sealed off.
Right. But I mean, but so far it hasn't been like you know, stop every ship coming out of LA heading for China. I mean, it hasn't been like that. You know, I'll use the term yet, but these, you know.
No, it's affecting them. There was talk that January auto sales, China were down 19% from a year ago and down, you know, 8 or 9% from December. So, I mean, it's definitely there, and that's what they tell us. So, you know, you can probably multiply by a factor of something, you know, from what the data that they're reporting.
We have a Twitter question. Ask David Andelman what he thinks the levels in the euro are. 108 this morning.
I'll look.
What would possess anybody?
The levels, I mean, they've gone through everything that's been straight down for the last 10 or 12 trading sessions. I can tell you resistance was the last cycle low in the March contract, 110.15. I mean, unless it gets back over 110.15, then it's far from that. I'll look at a weekly chart and see if there's anything underneath here.
Is the euro? I mean,
you're making new lows since whatever, May of 2017. There really isn't anything, you know, major cycle low. There's a little bit of a cycle low on the weekly. Is it about 106.05, and then really, at 105, there's major support. So I would not be trying to, even though all the oscillators are really extended, I would not try and pick a bottom. I mean, unless maybe you use some kind of, you know, out-of-the-money option spread. I would not stand in front of that.
David, where are they dropping, the euro, is it dropping in relation to the pound and the Swiss franc as well, or just the dollar?
No, pound's been hit. Swiss has been hit. Yen has held up a little bit, this quote-unquote, not my idea, but haven currency. But, no, they've all been hit pretty. You had about a 2% rise in the dollar in a month, which is significant.
Well, when some guys are, the interest is zero or below zero, I mean, why would anybody want their money there overnight?
Right. No, I mean,
this is not that. The interesting part is, though, I wonder what the forward contracts are like. For those of you that don't know, a forward contract is you can trade a future, like David's talking about, and that was the question was about. Or are you talking to spot or the 30-day future?
That's the March contract, so okay. It's converging to spot.
Right, so it's very close. But if you were to say, I want to buy a bunch of yen today. And oh, by the way, a year from now, I'm going to sell whatever it is. I'm going to buy parts for a motor. I'm going to put the motor together. I'm going to sell the motor, and then I'm going to be able to get my I want my dollars back at the end of the year. If you do a forward contract, all those interest rates are in the forward contract, right, David? So there's no.
Well, they're supposed to be. I was just looking out, for example, in the euro. I mean, from 108.75 in the March. There's a little bit of a premium, 109.37 in the June. And amazingly enough, the September, you know, 3 months past the June, is almost the same price, 109.40. So there's a premium now to June, and between June and September, almost no premium.
Not sure why that is. I guess it's just whatever, the forward rates.
Well, I mean, because if you when you look at it now, how can I do this briefly, David? It takes like a year to learn in school. If the interest rates in Zimbabwe are 5% and they're in the U.S., they're zero. So we say, all right, wait a minute. We're not going to put our money in the bank here overnight. We're going to put it in Zimbabwe. Or for the year, we buy the Zimbabwe currency, we put it in the bank over there. We're going to make our 5%. But now we've got the currency risk of the Zimbabwe currency versus the dollar. If you take that risk out of there and say, well, a year from now I want to bring it back, well, what would you expect the discount to be is going to be 5%? Because everybody knows the interest rates are over there. Part of the forward contract is the difference in the interest rate, right, David? There's no yeah. free lunch here. That was why when the credit crisis hit in 2007 and 2008, what people were doing, they were going over to Japan, borrowing at 2%, investing in mortgages at 6 or 6.5, but they weren't completing the trade. They were just going to get the stuff at 2% and not doing the conversion back. So I'm not so sure half of them made any money, David, because they had to go back and get dollars at one point, right, or yen,
right.
So when you don't, it's like you're like legged out on a trade, for lack of a better term. We're way too technical. Is there a spot here, and we're down pretty much just where we were up yesterday? Well, now we're actually coming back a little bit, only down 17. Still looks to me, David, like unless something, no matter what horrible happens overnight, unless something horrible again happens during the day, the money keeps trickling in, and people just, you know, at 10 o'clock, somebody buys something, and they wait for another shoe to drop, and it doesn't. At 11 o'clock, you buy something, and by the end of the day, all the buy-the-dipper retail people, the mutual fund buyers come in, and all of a sudden, instead of being down 20, we're down 5, and tomorrow we're up. I mean,
I would watch yesterday's low in the March E-mini S&P, 33.55.5. That's, you know, an important number. I mean, it's just a number, but and we ticked down through it. We went to 33.48.5. That's the overnight low. We're back to 33.61 or so, 62. And a little bit of a rebound, but you did make a new high overnight. So if we do happen to close below, you know, yesterday's low, you do set up a little bit of a reversal, depending on if there would be follow through tomorrow. And that assumes lower close today, obviously. It's not over, and the market has certainly opportunity and has shown the ability and, you know, consistency of coming back from any kind of little break. So I'm not counting on the lower close. But if you get it and it's below 33.55.5 and there's downside follow through tomorrow, maybe we have a little bit of a healthy correction.
We talk about individual stocks when it comes to like earnings and stuff, but I don't usually talk about them so much on the show because I don't want to be giving recommendations on this stuff. This one time, David, you know what I'm kind of surprised? Is the one stock I've been watching has been up every single day. I mean, it's seemingly you cannot stop it. Is this Microsoft. And I remember these guys being $35 for like 4 years, it seemed. And now they go up, they're like, no matter what happens, they're like the insulated monopolist. But all of a sudden, here we are, we're Thursday. Tuesday, they were up like $3 or $4. The stock traded 190.70, and during the day Tuesday, it made a pretty big turnaround and closed at 184. And now today, it's trading, it's down again. It's trading, well, 183.70. So it's down another buck. No big deal. But I wonder if that's an interesting little reversal in there that it has not had in months. I wonder, you know, if it's just the one I'm looking at, I'm not going to say it's a key one because it happened to be the one that I spotted. There might be another 100 of them that I missed. But that stock has been such a force that every day, everybody worries about Boeing, they worry about Apple. The fact is, that thing, $2-3 every day, it seems. I mean, the thing was 160 in January.
Well, it's not the same company, though, that it was. And with full disclosure, I do own a little bit, just straight out stock, no options for a few customers. So I'm biased. And I certainly would not recommend with the technicals extended. I mean, unless we saw at least a 5% pullback, I'm not recommending buying it up here. Nor would I sell it or short it unless, you know, you have some pretty good cojones. But it's not the same company that it was. I mean, there was no cloud. And the cloud is not only growing big time, but big time margin and making slight inroads, taking some market share, you know, from Amazon Web Services, AWS. So big inroads there.
But beyond that, the upgrades, you know, to Office 365 and Windows 10 and, you know, removing, you know, taking away all support for Windows XP, you know, now removing support for Windows 7 and kind of forcing upgrades and going to subscription models, those are all, you know, income producing on a regular basis and on a consistent basis. Slight rebound in the PC market, you know, from, you know, starting to grow again after years of being, you know, giving away to hand, you know, touchpads and stuff like that. And so, you know, again, full disclosure, I have a small amount on the books for customers. I'd be scared to short it, let's put it that way. Unless I saw $10 down, I would be hesitant to buy it either.
I'm going to lob four words out there. I'm going to say bold-faced criminal monopoly. Just saying. By the way, you guys got to get rid of all these other machines because we got this new system and we're going to stop all those. It's
unbelievable. They go into your computer overnight, do the upgrades, close down everything that you have. I mean, you know, and they do it. And then when it behooves them, oh, we made this, you know, this is faster, you know, this has more privacy and you have a little bit more, you know, protection, you know, build security built in and whatever. And so, you know, that format, that operating system is no longer supported. You have 3 months to change it. Otherwise, you're not going to operate your system.
Well, when I needed a new computer at home, anyway, I had a real crummy one, and I take your brother with me, Matty Thomas, and we go buy this computer, and he sets it all up for me, right? Which, you know, didn't take him very long. Plus, there's nothing to set up. I don't have any files. All I do is look at the internet for the show. That's and get email. That's my computer capacity, David, at home, because I'm here all day. What do I need? So Thomas says, you don't want to use what's the internet browser. I don't know, whatever it is. When you kick on Microsoft and your web comes up, he says, you want to use this Firefox. It's way better. I go, fine, throw it in there. So he throws it in there. So for 2 years, I use Firefox. And like you're saying, David, you know, Microsoft comes in and does the things every night. One day, I go to hit my Firefox. It doesn't work. Not only is it doesn't work, it's like not even there anymore. So, obviously, in one of the upgrades, they bleep canned my Firefox.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go to try and download it again. It won't let me go to the Firefox place to download it again. I mean,
yeah, it's unbelievable the way they literally they take over. And you know, and now, you know, I actually have some custom made algorithms that, you know, I calculate signals on that were custom made for Windows 7. And so now I either have to redo the software so that it can work on 10, because it doesn't, or I have to figure out different algorithms altogether. They literally run your life. And beyond that, you're working and you get this flash that, you know, Windows 7 is no longer supported and we're not going to give you downloads. And if by September, if you don't switch, you're done.
Well, it gets somewhat worse. I'm listening and driving in one morning. I was over to pick it up, AV, and I'm hearing on News Radio 78, hey, you know, upgrade to Windows 10, what is it, man? It's $150, $170 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
And, but of course, I get to thinking my computer at home, by the way, this computer is so lousy, you better go out and buy a new one. Don't even try and download it. Okay. So now you idiots are forcing me to buy a computer. I'm surprised they didn't say, here's the latest Microsoft computer. We'll give you 5% off. Buy
it
right here.
That'll be a nudge. And they'll be next. They have the Microsoft touchpad. You know, this program, that program will only work on touchpad. I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, it's, you know, it's like step one.
And that's why it's $185 and you couldn't get it sold fast enough between 100 and 105.
Well, yeah, I think they just keep pushing, Manny, to see if ever there's going to be a pushback from the Justice Department, and there never is. There just never is. I mean, nobody.
It's always Facebook. It's always Amazon.
Yeah,
and it's always Google, but they never come after Microsoft or Apple.
But it's I only got a minute to pontificate here, but it's only it's like the whole societal thing, Maddie. We talk about every day. You know, the people push on insider trading, and they find out nobody ever pushes back. Congress was supposed to put this stuff in a blind trust, and all of a sudden somebody does it, and 5 years later nobody does. Nobody ever put, even though it was the rule, nobody cares. There's no enforcement. It's like stop signs in Chicago. You know, you make it bad one anyway. Let's forget about that. Is there some spot here, David, where when we're so high up here, is there a spot? You only got 30 seconds. That anybody's chart would say you got to short it here, or when you're up this high, you don't even really know.
No, the oscillators are getting there, and there's divergences. They're not making new highs along with the underlying. I mean, I would do it, you know, either with a stop if you're doing it straight up, or certainly with some kind of option spread.
Well, as you're saying that, we're rallying here. We're only down 15. The S&P futures only down 60. David, thank you. Maddie, okay. Thank you. We got to make sure we get that interview up today. And I saw that. I'm still trying to remember all that apart from Jeff. That was pretty interesting. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-49.